And actually, next year, God willing, we will have it in the new church. So you definitely want to come back. All right, I'm going to... I just want to thank everyone. I know it's so special to have to see the families, to see Thelma's family and just the Laurel's family and Thelma's. Everybody's, it's special to see you each back every year, and it makes you part of our family. And we just thank you for sharing with us. And I'm going to, let's bow for prayer. Lord God in heaven, we are just so thankful for your love for us. We thank you, God, that you have given us life, and you have given us family, and you have given us love for one another. And God, we just lift up this time to you, and we thank you for the blessings of being moms, of having children. And Lord, as we see our children grow, we just thank you for the life that you have placed in them. And Lord, as we gather together to fellowship, bless our speaker, bless all the contributions to this event, Lord. We just give you the glory, you the praise, because you are our God, our Savior, and our Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We're going to sing hymn 525, A Christian Home. And if, let's see, Raquel or Tae Young, one of them will play for us. And Trish is going to help us sing. Because I can't hear your tune, so.
Thank you.
We now have a little poem from Brianna Mills, and I believe she did this all on her own. So come on up, Brianna.
Hello, mothers and daughters. I'm glad you're here on this beautiful day. I have a few words for the mothers and daughters. Mothers take good care of their daughters. Mothers love their daughters. Mothers love their brother and sister, if they have any. Mothers love their mom and dad, our grandparents. Mothers love their husbands, if they even take away their credit cards. Daughters learn from a lot from their mothers, like how to dress, how to behave, how to talk, but most of all, how to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are my words about mothers and daughters. God bless you all.
Thank you. That was very good. Now we have Darlene is going to share a poem that Anthony wrote several years back.
Well, first I thought I'd share this little ditty on mean moms. It says, "Was your mom mean? I know mine was." Someone else wrote this, but I know that some of this we can all identify with. We had the meanest mother in the whole world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal and eggs and toast. When others had Pepsi and a Twinkie for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess our mother fixed us a dinner that was different from other kids, too. Mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. She had to know who our friends were, what we were doing with them. She insisted if we said we would be gone for an hour, we would be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit it, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws and by making us work. We had to wash dishes, make the beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, empty trash, and all sorts of cruel jobs. I think she would lie awake at night thinking of more things for us to do. She insisted on us telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. By the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds and had eyes in the back of her head. Then life was really tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come to the door so she could meet them. While everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait till we were 16. Because of our mother, we missed out on lots of other things kids experience. None of us have ever been caught stealing, vandalizing other properties, or even arrested for any crime. It was all her fault. Now that we have left home, we are all educated, honest adults, and we're doing the best to be the parents, mean parents, just like Mom was. I think that's what's wrong with this world today. It just doesn't have enough mean moms. And I'm going to read a poem to you, if I can. My son wrote it in his junior high English project. But I just was rummaging through his homework and read it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to keep this in my files. It's a son to a mother and a father. But as a mother of a son and a daughter, I think anyone who has a son knows that a mother is as much an influence in a son's life as in a daughter's, and quite important to a son. But also it's an encouragement to mothers who are raising children. But someday these children grew up and began to understand what you are doing for them and to them, through them. It says here, "I am the son of a man, a hero, a servant, and friend. And most of all, a man who is perfect in his imperfections, my father." I have seen my father cry, not for a moment missed or a pleasure unfulfilled. Tears he shed for his beloved son who caused him pain. Me, what courage and what strength I could only hope to have. The man who made my life has broken my heart with a tear. His strength lies not in men but in God. Oh, to be a man like that. I have heard my mother sigh, yet hold her mouth shut tight. She wants to hold on, yet she knows she must let go of me. What courage and what strength I could only hope to have. The woman who brought me forth, who knows me better than I, her wisdom comes not from men, but from God. Oh, to love a woman like that. Mother was a young woman and father a young man. Her faith had brought my father from darkness, and through them the light reached me. My sister and I live under their watch, not by force or obligation, but of love. I am but a child, a man who is yet to be. There are mountains to climb, challenges to meet. And despite the sinful soul, in the light of grace, a man, any woman, stand by me. A father, a mother, I owe them my life, for they have given theirs to me. What courage and what strength I could only hope to have. And now we will pray and thank the Lord for God's blessing of the food. Father God, so thankful that we can gather together here and rejoice together in the blessing of mothers and families and children. Lord, bless our fellowship around this food. Bless the nourishment of this food to our bodies. Father, may we give you honor and glory in all that we say, do, think, and feel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
She's going to lead us in song, and we're going to sing happy birthday to
Brooke.
Okay, all right, ready? All right, ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Okay, ladies, I'm sure everybody had enough to eat. There was desserts left over, so as soon as we relax for a little bit, we can go back. Let's see, we're going to have Candace come up, and she's going to read a poem today. For those of you who don't know, that's my daughter, Candace.
All right, this is called Before I Was Myself. You made me me. Before I was myself, you made me me. With love and patience, discipline and tears. Then bit by bit, step back to set me free. Allowing me to sail upon my sea. Though well within the headlands of your fears. Before I was myself, you made me me. With dreams enough of what I was to be. And hopes that would be sculpted by the years. Then bit by bit, stepped back to set me free. Relinquishing your powers gradually to let me shape myself among my peers. Before I was myself, you made me, me. And being good and wise, you gracefully, as dancers when the last sweet cadence sneers, bit by bit, stepped back to set me free. For love inspires learning naturally. The mind assents to what the heart reveres. And so it was, through love, you made me, me, by slowly stepping back to set me free.
And now we're going to have Elenita come up and sing a song for us. And originally Devin was going to join her, but they're homesick. So pray for them this week.
I miss Devin. We are supposed to sing a duet. Wow, I'm so full I can hardly sing. So you have to put up with me. Okay, as mothers, God has given us the delicate task of raising our children. And our children tend to do their own willful way. And we need to do a lot of prayer for them so that God will lead them to the right path. I greet my Lord from day to day. I scorn his love so full and free. And though I wandered far away, my mother's prayers have followed me. I'm coming home, I'm coming home to live my wasted life anew. For mother's prayers have followed me.
I wish I could sing like that, but we thank you. God has given us each different gifts. Now I have the privilege to introduce to you Allegra McBurney. She's our guest speaker today, and she's been joining us at our church, and we are just so excited. She brought the Christmas message, a beautiful message, and I know she has great things for us today.
A mic, but my voice doesn't go beyond the tip of my nose, so I want you to hear what I have to say. I'm so grateful to have been asked today, and I again apologize for being late. It was a misunderstanding. I was going to sneak in while you eat and get set up and not bother you until I was supposed to speak. But anyway, God can use even terrible mistakes. Well, before I do my little lesson, which I don't like to call it a lesson, it's a sharing of something very, very special. But first I wanted to thank you as a group for your kind reception of my husband and me when we came into your fellowship. We haven't been here very long, and it's been very spasmodic because my husband has Alzheimer's, and I find it very difficult to come on a regular basis. But you have been so nice. And you just so many hugs, and I know they're real, and mine are real back. And we're just so very grateful. And your prayers, I cannot tell you what your prayers mean. When you get to this level of life, you have a whole new need for prayer. And we certainly appreciate every bit of that. You know, although my husband has had terrible struggles with remembering things, he asks where Allegra is, and he comes and looks seriously at me, and he said, "Can you please phone my wife? I miss her." And it puts me in a very difficult situation. I don't really know how to cope with it, but God has dealt with it. But, you know, there's one area of his life that is not confused, and that's spiritually. Spiritually, he is on track. It is just amazing. He prays with a fervency that I don't think I've ever seen in him before. And he's discerning. I still go to him. "Honey, this is what God is leading me. Is this? Do you feel this is what we should do?" And he helps me still as a husband. But everything else is so off target. But anyway, God has retained that. And you know, he prays earnestly that he and I will still win people to Christ. We have been missionaries for 50 years, and he is in that mode, and so am I, that we still want to win people to Christ. And you know, the one area outside of prayer that he can still handle is giving out scripture booklets. Now, let me tell you, you are looking at half of a missionary team that goes regularly to Main Street and to 10th Street in Gilroy, where the Mexican fellas are lined up for trabajo. And we have to tell them, "No tiene trabajo. Aber, I'm talking German because I miss those two. Anyway, I tell them we do have the Word of God. And we have little Bible verse booklets that are illustrated, because that eliminates a difficulty if they're not too literate. And these are wonderful, in Spanish, about 40 little pages. And so I drive alongside and let my husband go out, and one-on-one, he speaks, and his Spanish is as bad as mine, but God knows a gringo, and he still uses us. And anyway, my husband gives those booklets out one by one. And when we get done, like recently, I think he must have given out about 75. And he said, "Oh, it's so wonderful. Those young men are so kind and so courteous and so receptive. They really want the Word of God." And I said, "That's a difference between working with them and trying to give out the Word of God a lot of times to Americans who don't have the same respect for the things of the Lord or respect for age." You know, I think the fact that my husband kind of goes up to them like this is a strengthening thing, because they are so good to him. So we are giving out the Word of God. And you know, God has still given my husband a ministry through that. And God had to completely redesign my own ministry, because for many years, 25 years, I have been traveling to not only across the country annually in my big van with my big dog, but also I've been working with the military as a Bible teacher and counselor with the women in many parts of the world, even doing a retreat at Ephesus, which was pretty exciting. But all of a sudden, of course, my traveling was terminated. But you know, God is very creative, and he redesigned my ministry. Well, at that point, I had already written 50 books. So basing the new ministry on the fact that I had 50 books was an easy turn into turning them into a worldwide distribution. And so here I am. We now live in the country with our son here in Morgan Hill, and I'm in a little corner of this little house with the animals running around, Piggy and Goose and the whole bunch, and I'm alone with a computer and with God. And you know, God has just done wonderful things. He lays on my heart a burden for certain countries that I know have extreme spiritual needs. There's not a country in the world that doesn't have a spiritual need. But I go for the ones that have extreme needs and perhaps not much gospel coming into them. I had a real burden for China, as I'm sure probably all of you have. But a woman came up to me who was newly widowed, and she said, my husband and I went into China before he died, and I would like to give a memorial gift of $5,000 to you if you could get into China with your books. So $5,000, and I found, here's another of God's miracles, I found an absolutely marvelous printing organization, gospel organization in Singapore that prints for mainland China. They are so godly. You would love them to pieces. Trustworthy. Very sound financially and doctrinally. And God led me to these people. And as a result, those $5,000 equated 30,000 books. Beautiful books. Bilingual, full color. They are lovely. And then believers hand carried them into China, into, quote, remote villages that have never before had the privilege of receiving Christian literature. I mean, mission accomplished, praise the Lord. Then God laid on, and I'm not through with that. Another 3,500 has come in, and we're doing another title or two. The first bunch was a creation salvation series. And I'll tell you, if you want to reach people for the first time, you start with Genesis. If they do not know the truth of Genesis 1:1, they are not going to be accepting of John 3:16. So this series includes both. It's a full orbed presentation. So those went into China, and now other stories, true stories, always true testimonies are going in. I had a burden for Bulgaria too. Now my husband and I have done a lot of missionary work in Eastern Europe. Everybody knows about Romania, but America has flooded into Romania. But if you want to go where there is poverty still that is extreme, you go to Bulgaria. And I had a burden for Bulgaria, but I don't know a soul in Bulgaria. How do I get there? One Sunday, my son came up to me. He said, you know, Mom, a new fella came to my church. He goes to church up in the peninsula. A new fella came, and he's from Bulgaria. And he's going to be here 6 months going to seminary. And he not only speaks English perfectly, but his job is working for a printer in Bulgaria who is just completing translating and publishing the Bible in Bulgaria. And I thought, well, I think I can rely on them to handle the Allegra ministry. Can you believe it? So now that they finished the Bible in Bulgaria, and now they have completed the translation of my books, and they're soon to go to be published. And always, when the Lord guides, he provides. I have no backing. I'm my own little ministry, sitting at 80 years old and sitting at this computer in the corner on a farm. And that's the ministry. But, you know, I receive gifts, and I have never solicited a penny. My husband and I have been missionaries 50 years. We have never once asked for a penny from anybody. But it's amazing. Because money has come in mostly from little widow ladies or people that came to the Lord through my retreats or something like that. But I save it and save it until it's enough. And now I think I have enough for Bulgaria. I have to save half again as much. I mean, 5,000 I'm saving. I have to save 7,500 because of the devaluation of the dollar. And the euro now requires me to send 7,500 American dollars, which is a detail, but it does figure into missionary funding. I'm sure the knots are experiencing the devaluation, too. And it's just country after country. A plea from Italy, we have nothing for children. Now they have a strong gospel booklet, which is going all over Italy through a television ministry, and it's going to an orphanage of children that are not adoptable because nobody wants them. This is a whole orphanage made up of children who have come out of the, the gangster clan. Yeah, you know what I mean. Pardon? Yeah. Anyway, these children, nobody wants them because their parents are all in prison now and they're very bad children. But I saw a little video of them giving the books to those children. And they're jumping up and down and they're saying, thank you, Miss Allegra. We love you, Miss Allegra. And it's so gratifying. Well, I can't go into that. That is really not my a special message. I will mention Cuba. Nobody has been getting into Cuba because we have, the U.S. has no diplomatic relations with Cuba. And so I had to work through a Spanish missionary who goes into Cuba secretly and hand carries my books and now my money into and gives it to the one printer in Cuba who has not yet been discovered by the communist government. And so they are doing the whole creation salvation series too. And it is so exciting. Well, on and on and on. I praise the Lord for all that he is doing. And, you know, I just wrote a little thing down, which I have posted in front of the computer, and so I'm just going to share it for you, with you. Just a little sentence that says, we never really know that Jesus Christ is all we need until Jesus Christ is all we have. And I posted that in front of my computer because I know that Jesus Christ is all I have and all I need. And my relationship with him is so sweet and so real. And praying isn't an assignment. Praying is the way I breathe. And the Lord is so good to answer. Well, I want to mention, I do want to get into a very brief little message because it's something that is really special to my own heart. Actually, I have enough visuals and enough material on this topic to do a whole retreat, but I've simmered it down to doing one little illustration. But I do have to start with the basics, and that is that since we're talking about light, I have to point out that Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual light. Now, I do not work with fire out of experience in the past where I almost set the military chapel on fire. And I don't want any problems here, at least until you're safely moved into the other building. And besides, if I use fire and I show my own salvation and I light the candle, if it goes out, I have to explain doctrinally that we do not lose our salvation. So anyway, okay. So Jesus says of himself that he is the light of the world. Now, he makes a parallel statement of believers. He says, you are the light of the world. Now, this is not a contradiction. This is simply the word for light that he uses in reference to himself means source of light. He is the source of light. And the word that he uses for light in a believer is light holder. Light holder. It's a different word. And so I think light holder makes a lantern a very appropriate visual aid for that particular illustration. So I could go into great length with my own testimony, but suffice it to say that the light from Jesus at one point in the middle of the night in 1955, the Lord ignited me after 28 years of weeping and searching and desperation spiritually. I was in ritualism. It had no answers. It had no peace. All it had was performance, performance, performance. And the middle of the night, that night, without any human intervention, without any human persuasion, I just broke down and I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just know that I believe in you, Lord Jesus, and I trust you like a little child, and you take over. And I was born again in the middle of the night. And there, my light was truly ignited. 6 months later, my dear husband came to Christ. And that was not an easy chore for the Lord, but he accomplished it. My husband is an engineer by profession and very self-capable, you know. Engineers, I think, are usually. They can figure everything out with a computer or some way. But anyway, my husband had an eye on his wife, and he saw the change. Now, I did not change from being a street person. I changed from being a church person. That is almost a harder transition, let me tell you, than working with street people. But anyway, he saw the change, even in that very religious wife. It was different. I had a peace. I had a joy. I had an excitement in my life. Before, I had been crying for at least a year and a half. I thought I was going to have to go to a mental institution. I was so broken. And he saw that difference. And one Sunday afternoon, all by himself, he was listening to Billy Graham. And he turned off the radio and he said, God, I always thought I was a Christian, but I know I'm not the kind like my wife. So I'm asking you to forgive my sins and make me that kind. And I got a Christian for a husband that afternoon. And then our next assignment from the Lord was to bring our children to Christ. And this makes it a very apt Mother's Day message, because that is certainly our first priority, is to bring our children to Christ. Now, this takes a little while. It took 9 months each time, so be patient. Six. And I wasn't supposed to have any children at all. Physically, it was impossible. Even after the sixth one was born, the doctor said, oh, Mrs. McBurney, I don't see how you ever had even one child. But see, he did not know my connections. And so I highly recommend the Lord in that kind of situation. Well, one by one, our children came to know the Lord. And that is not an easy assignment. You have to be totally in touch with the Lord so that you don't go too fast or too slow. And little Scotty, who happened to be this one, number five, he was 3 years old, and he came down to breakfast one morning, and he was very concerned. And he said, Mommy and Daddy, when can I have Jesus as my very own Jesus? Well, three-year-olds don't normally worry about their salvation unless God is working in their little hearts. He had sat in on more Bible clubs than I can ever name, but he got the message all by himself in that morning. Well, we knew he wanted to receive Christ, so Daddy took him in the living room. They knelt by the piano bench, and Scotty prayed, and he confessed all of his terrible sins to the Lord. And you know, it's important that our children know that they sin. I mean, you don't have to be an adult with a loose life in order to qualify as a sinner. Little kids can lie. Little kids can take things. Little kids can disobey their parents. A lot of things that we many times overlook. But he knew they were wrong, and he asked Jesus into his heart as his savior. And the Lord came in, and you know, when Scotty stood up from that piano bench, it was visible that the light had come into his little heart. And it has maintained that bright illumination ever since. And Scotty is now, oh, I don't know, I can't keep track of my kids because they keep changing every year. I think he's about 46. But he has been consistent in loving the Lord and serving him. When he was five, he came to us one morning and he said, Mommy and Daddy, I thought I should tell you that God has called me. Scotty has served in Ecuador in the ministry with the Aka Indians, which you undoubtedly have heard about, and where the five young men were killed. And so our responsibility is to direct our little ones to receive Christ. The littlest one was very resistant. She says, Mommy, I know exactly what to do, and I'm not ready, and I'm not going to do it right now. And so I had to turn her over to the Lord. I mean, this is not Mommy being the evangelist. God had to do it, you know. One night, her sister, who was 10 years old, her sister, who was 13, came in and said, Mommy, Kimmy wants to receive Christ. What do I do? I said, you know what to do. You go in and talk to her. You can lead her to the Lord. And so there was this nice little period of time, and Kimmy came in. She said, Mommy, you know what I did? I finally asked Jesus to be my Savior. Won't he be glad? I think he probably was glad, but he wasn't more glad than her mother. But she, too, has just gone off like a rocket in her spiritual life. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. All of the children are walking with the Lord and have served him in many ways. At different times, they have served in Africa and South America and Europe, and I praise the Lord for that. Now I want to get down to you. What is your responsibility? If you have Jesus in your heart, God expects you to take that lantern into dark places. You know, I often hear women, I work with a lot of women, and it's a common complaint to come and say, oh, you don't know how hard it is. I don't, there's not a single member of my family that's saved. I'm in this workplace where they are totally against God. Isn't it awful? And I said, praise the Lord. God has really given you some darkness to shine in, hasn't he? And you know, if you can look on it that way, that is, God is telling you he wants to use you if he sticks you in a dark place. And so now, you know, shining, the light is a quiet thing, is it not? You don't have to make, light doesn't make a whole lot of noise to draw attention to itself. The light will do the drawing. Now, that doesn't mean that we can be silent, but it means we don't have to be clever or obtrusive in people's lives if we will just be faithful in telling them the gospel as we are able and letting the light do the penetration of the darkness. So, our job now, if you're a mother, which I trust you all are, but anyway, even if you aren't, wherever you're located, in your home, in a workplace, in a school, wherever you are in the midst of unbelievers. And let's take advantage of that. I'm going to close with just one illustration because it's very special to me. This happened some years ago. And it involves my husband so that you can see. By the way, my husband and I have been missionaries for 50 years. And now that I see his decline, I see such a different husband. But I love him dearly. And you know, he may not know who I am, but I know who he is. And that's what counts. And the Lord says he's not going to test us beyond what we're able to bear. And so every day, I am thankful that we made it through the day and we're rejoicing in Christ. And even though the body goes down and down and the mind goes down and down, the Lord is praised and elevated. But anyway, this happened some years ago. By the way, my husband also has started San Francisco Christian School. We moved from the foreign field. We were called by the Lord to work in downtown San Francisco, which was a hard call. God had to prepare us on the foreign field where we had rocks thrown at us and were spit on in order to make us ready for San Francisco. But among many ministries in San Francisco, we also started the San Francisco Christian School, through which probably by now thousands of young people have come to know Christ. And when that ministry was very well established, I said to my husband, you know, the young people in Silicon Valley may be a little more advantaged physically or financially, but they have the same need for Christ that the immigrant children that we've worked with in San Francisco have. And so God used us to start the King's Academy. And I can't vouch that it has gone all the way as simply and closely as we would have made it very much like your church, you know. And they have adapted it, but they are still praising the Lord and leading many to Christ. And so we're thankful for that ministry. But what I want to tell you is something that happened some years ago. We had moved to a new neighborhood. Now, whenever we move to a new neighborhood, we feel the responsibility of reaching the people around us. And there were a lot of children in this neighborhood, and so we decided we better have a children's Bible club. And so we were going to print invitations to start with, and we were going to schedule it for Saturday, which is the most open day, and we were going to schedule it for 10 o'clock. And I said to my husband, you realize I can't come at 10 o'clock, because I had a program with Family Radio Network, had it for 25 years. That's where I got to know the Oteros. But anyway, I said, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I have to take my studio time and record for the following week. And when you get studio time, you take it or you don't get it. And so I said, I can't come. And my husband said, that's okay, honey. I'll take care of the club. And we still had a daughter at home. And she said, I'll bake the cookies and I'll play the piano. And I'll teach the memory verse. So we had a good staff there. Okay, so we passed these invitations out all over this area. And, of course, the parents, they're very nice to your face, you know. They say, oh, you know, children these days really need spiritual input. Yeah, right. And so they go to soccer on Saturday morning. But anyway, despite the parental response, which was very encouraging, Saturday morning came. I had not yet left for the studio by 10 o'clock. And 10 o'clock came, and not a single child showed up. But 3 minutes after 10, whoosh, here comes this little bicycle up to our front door. And this little kid gets off, and he says, hi, my name is Tommy, and I'm 8 years old, and I have come for Bible Club. And my husband said, well, wonderful, Tommy. Now, you know, I give my husband credit. He could have said, well, Tommy, since you're the only one that has come, why don't we all go home and try to reach others and bring a crowd in next Saturday, and then we'll get started. He didn't say that. He said, wonderful, Tommy, you come right on in, and we are going to have a Bible Club. And, you know, they went in, and I was just combing my hair to go out the door. And the singing had started. The daughter was playing the piano up a storm, you know. And Daddy was singing in a big voice. And little Tommy was singing along as best he could. And they were off and running. Well, when I got back from the studio that afternoon, I said, how did the Bible Club go? He said, it was remarkable. That little boy has such interest in the things of the Lord. It is just amazing. Apart from our own children, I have never worked with anyone who was so sensitive to spiritual truth. And he got so excited when I told him at the end of the club, I said, now you go out, Tommy, and try to bring in some of your friends as first-timers. You know, that was the code word. He was going to go out and bring in first-timers. And he dealt it as an assignment. Okay. Next Saturday came, 10 o'clock, not a soul showed up. 3 minutes after 10 comes the bicycle up to the front gate, and he says, Mr. McBurney, I have come for Bible Club, but I couldn't get anybody to come with me. I have no first-timers because nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Well, he had it pretty well summarized, didn't he? Okay, so in they go for another Bible Club. When I got back from the studio that day, I said, how did it go? And my husband said, I am just dumbfounded. That is a precious little jewel of a boy, and God has brought him. And he is so wanting to know more about Jesus. And he's trying really hard to go and bring some first-timers. He went out the door again, determined that next week it's going to be different. The next week came, same scenario, only little Tommy. And at the end of the day, I asked my husband, how did things go today? And my husband was so, so touched. He said, Tommy received the Lord. And he said, apart from leading our own children to Christ, I have never felt so certain that that little boy knew exactly what he's doing and he's safe in Jesus. And so we were rejoicing over that. Well, Saturday after Saturday, Tommy remained the whole Bible Club. Then one Friday night, my husband was getting ready to prepare his lesson for the next day, and he picked up the newspaper and just to look at it first, and he suddenly looked so different. I said, what's the matter? He said, Tommy has been killed in an accident. So the next morning, Saturday, there was no little bicycle at the gate, but my husband and I went to Tommy's house. Now, we had no idea where he lived. We had an address, and we had never met his family. But we went to the door. His mother answered, and we introduced ourselves, and we said, we just want to tell you how awful we feel about little Tommy being lost, being dead now. And anyway, she invited us in and began to talk to us a little bit. It turned out they had just had a divorce, and it was a really hard, hard situation for little Tommy. And I said, when is the funeral going to be? We would like to attend. She said, funeral? There's not going to be any funeral. He's already been cremated. And I asked at the funeral home how much it might cost to rent a room to have some kind of a little service for the relatives. And they wanted $75. I do not have $75. Well, then her telephone rang in the kitchen. So she went out to the kitchen to answer it. And I said to my husband, honey, I know we don't have $75 either, but we do have a living room. Why don't we ask if she would like to use the living room as a meeting place for her family? So when she came back in, I suggested that to her. And she said, you know, I think I'm going to take you up on that because I really feel I should do something. The relatives are just really upset with me that I wasn't going to do anything. So we planned a memorial service that Monday night, 2 days hence, in our home, and she was going to invite her family. Well, over the weekend, my husband said, what will I do for a message? I said, I think you have to be very basic. Get out the flannel board. Visual is always appealing. Visualized lessons. And then present a very brief version of the life of Christ, just so those people know who he is, ending, of course, with the cross and what he did for us. And so that's what my husband did, a very brief presentation, but very significant, about who Jesus Christ is and what he can be in your life. And I prepared, someone gave us a little organ, for which I'm thankful, and so I prepared a little medley of children's Bible club songs, and that was our music. And so after it was all over, and we had a little yellow rose on the mantle, and a little third grade picture of Tommy. You know, mommies never put combs in when they have picture day. And there was that little picture in that yellow rose. And after everybody went home that night, I put my arm around my husband. I said, do you realize something, honey? Tommy just brought 28 first-timers. And I would guess that those first-timers had never before heard the gospel, but they heard it that night. Did God use a little boy to reach 28 people with the word of God? Yes. And who reached that little boy? Just people with a heart to make the gospel known. Tommy was on our hearts when we passed out the invitations. But you know, if we don't do anything, how can God build upon that beginning work? We have to do the beginning work. Sow the seed anyway. I am a firm believer in scripture booklets when we do not have time to share a verbal testimony of our own. If you can leave someone with the word of God, and I don't mean just a little pamphlet that is somebody's take on what does Christmas mean. I mean the word of God that tells you what you need to do in salvation-wise. And these little scripture booklets, I carry them in my purse. And I have them in every language that is you hear on in this part of the world. I mean, Vietnamese. We came down from San Jose, Vietnamese and the Chinese and just everything. My books, for instance, are published in 7 languages in India. So I can get scripture booklets in all 7 languages. There are at least 600,000 Indians living across the bay. Anyway, I leave you with this challenge. Take advantage of God igniting your heart and life with the gospel. And if Jesus lives within your heart, you owe him the dissemination of his light. And so I encourage you to be a lantern for Jesus. It may cost you something, but you know, that lantern is not your own. You are bought with a price. Glorify him. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share you and to share the story of Tommy. How I rejoice in what you did in that wee life. And I pray, Father, that you will constantly, constantly keep fanning the flame in my own heart, that I will not miss a single opportunity to share you with someone that you have put into my day or into my life.
And I pray that you give that same burden to each believer here. And if anyone does not yet have Jesus in her heart, oh, please, Lord, turn her eyes upon Jesus and help her to know that he is available and that any of us that she would like will help her to pray and receive him. Bless this time. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful time together. May you be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you guys have heard Mark Harris, Find Your Wings. Candace is going to play that for us. It's, do you have it there? Okay. It's just something I think we as moms probably all have that prayer for our children.
The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you whatever this life brings, so let my love give you and help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so
I hope you've all had a wonderful time. And I just want to give a multitude of thanks to Allegra for just giving us an encouraging message. And we have a little something for her. I also want to thank Karen. She was so gracious, and she found these wonderful things, and they were so wonderful. Thank everybody, your trinkets that you get. Thank you, Karen. And Deborah Mills helped do the decorations and the hankies. She did these handmade. We thank all our poets today. We thank Brianna, Candace, and we thank the Laurels for their beautiful talent in music. And Mrs. Otero playing the piano, thank you. Mrs. Noriel, we thank you. And everybody who brought food, we give you great thanks. Everything was delicious. And we just hope to see you all next year. We thank you for being with us. And I actually want to acknowledge the great grandmothers. We want you to pick a plant as you leave. There these two orchids, you can pick one of those if you'd like also. So any great grandmothers can pick a plant. Can you raise your hand so I know how many we have? Oh, we have one great. Mary, you raised your hand too, right? Okay, so we have two great grandmothers. And went to be. Okay, she counts too. So, okay. And probably, do we have a whole, how many grandmothers do we have? Can you raise your hand? And okay, I think there's enough plants. So let's let great-grandmothers go first in picking plants. And the ones outside, too, you can pick a plant. And we just, again, thank you. Let me close in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we are just so filled with your presence. We thank you, God, for allowing us to gather together as women who love you, Lord, who want to be that light. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you've brought to our heart. Let us go out and share the hope that is in us, Lord. Let us glorify your name. We thank you for each one here, and bring us back together next year, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.